Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
As we look to the economy, we look to all of the breaking news of the day, developing stories, and want to talk about Pennsylvania and the state of the Commonwealth. A lot of fireworks and pointing fingers, if you will, talking about the Pennsylvania budget, what's going on, and a lot of great legislation to talk about. I want to get to my next guest, State Senator Kim Ward, president of the Senate, as you know, a real leader in Pennsylvania who has obviously needs no introduction. You know Kim Ward very well, but wanted to check in and kind of check the pulse of what's going on, especially as state lawmakers try to hammer out this budget deal. Thank you so much for joining me, State Senator Ward. Appreciate you.
Well, it's so nice to be back and have an opportunity to talk about what is going on. So go ahead and fire a question.
Yeah, so, you know, we're hearing, I always try to sort of cut away from the headlines and the different rhetoric. I know that they were Democrats, you know, were holding this news conference and basically blaming Joe. Let's blame,
hilarious.
You know what I mean? Like, let's blame Joe Picozzi in the Northeast in Philadelphia. It just cracked me up. But really, you know, first of all, we always want to bring up the issue of school choice, because that's something that, you know, especially my listeners and the viewers on our YouTube, Talk Radio 1210 WPHC YouTube, where we're streaming, that's a big one that people want to know what's going on with education in regard to that. What's the, if you look at the main sticking points as far as this budget, where are we? And obviously way over the deadline, but can you give us some of the headlines of what's going on and what is the main sticking point or sticking points?
Well, there are more than one sticking point, right? We're trying to work the school choice issue out. You know, we believe, I believe, and we believe that, yeah, we need to give parents a choice, especially an opportunity to get kids out of schools that are not up to par and not teaching them so that they can get out and get a job and, you know, go to work, go to college, go to trade school, do something. So that is it's a big deal at the table right now. And we're working to try to get something, right? We need to get something. We need to get enough, but I don't understand. I didn't understand when this happened a couple years ago, and I don't understand now what the problem is with helping poor kids in failing schools. But that's just what the Democrats are worried about. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it.
Yeah.
So that's a big sticking point. And now, you know, we have transit funding. Is also an issue. All we're asking for is some accountability and more being part of a team. You know, SEPTA is out there threatening to cut the lines that take kids to school. So now they're using kids as pawns in order to get their way. When the reality is there is a public transportation trust fund that has a little over $2.3 billion in it, and the Democrats don't want to touch it. Mm-hmm. That is definitely something that can be borrowed from or taken from. You know, the Democrats are saying, well, this is for capital projects. Okay, are we going to spend $2.3 billion next year on capital projects? There is a way to avert these lines being shut down that they're threatening to shut down, and they need to get on board until we get a permanent solution and a permanent way to fund public transit and our roads and bridges. And listen, we all know that both of those things are important, and depending on what part of the state you come from, which one's more important to you, but they're both important because they, you know, people, that's how people get to work. Mm-hmm. But we do need to ask these public transit authorities to, you know, make sure that they are doing everything administratively to keep costs down, that they are not running lines that are really expensive. I asked last week for the top 10 worst lines and the top 10 best lines on the buses. And the worst one is they have 1.5 customers per hour at a cost of $101 per rider.
Mm-hmm.
Is that efficient? No, that's not efficient. I mean, what are you going to do about that? So, you know, we're going to keep working through it, and we do have ideas on how we can maybe continue to get funding for these organizations. And one of those ideas is to change the regulations for gaming. You know, there's been a big push for that anyway. And one of the things we can do is change the gaming regulations. And that's a steady stream. Democrats, if they don't want to do that, I need them to tell us. We want to hear what tax they are willing to raise on the people of Pennsylvania. Because, they don't want to take money out of their trust fund, the public transit trust fund. They want to take money out of the rainy day fund, which is there for all of Pennsylvania to keep our financial situation secure and to have it in case we need it. And we are right where we need to be. We're at about $7.3 billion. That's where we need to be. We don't need to take money out of that. I just find it ironic that they'll take money from all of Pennsylvania, but they won't take it out of the fund that's there for them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have things to work out. And we're just going to keep working. And hopefully it won't be too much longer. But there is a way that we can fund essential services like social services and hospitals and nursing homes. We can do that. If we can't come to ground and to an agreement on this budget in the next week or so, we should just pass a six-month budget while we keep working, because tax dollars continue to come into Pennsylvania. They're continuing to hit the Treasury. And for us to hold everybody hostage because we can't agree on mass transit and education issues is a travesty, and it shouldn't happen, and we shouldn't let it happen. So that's kind of a rundown.
Yeah. No, I love it. Thank you. So this is, I mean, Governor Shapiro's budget, $51.5 billion spending proposal. And I'm looking, I was just monitoring, you know, I always monitor the media. So CBS News reports, driven by, quote, massive increases in Medicaid costs, and then the push to regulate and tax tens of thousands of slot machine-like cash-paying skill games popping up everywhere. And so that's one of the issues that they were putting out there. So is there this huge increase in Medicaid costs for that the state is picking up the tab?
$2 billion this year, 6.2% cost to carry because of the increased cost for Medicaid. And we all want to take care of people who need to be help. We all want to help people that need help. But the fact of the matter is, and it is true, we have hundreds of thousands of people on the Medicaid rolls in Pennsylvania between the ages of 19 and 64 who don't have children under the age of 14 and don't have a disability collecting Medicaid. That, we need to fix that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand what the Democrats' problem is in wanting to make sure we fix. That's fraud. And we need to fix it. It's abuse. I mean, we're just, here, you don't work. You don't have any kids under 14. You don't have a disability. But here you go.
Yeah.
We're going to give you this. It's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong for the taxpayers of Pennsylvania to be paying for that when most of Pennsylvania is paying for their own health care. They're paying for their own health insurance.
Yeah. And, you know, I've had conversations with the Attorney General, Dave Sunday, as well as the Treasury Secretary, Stacey Garrity, just about this issue on the regard of the Attorney General, Dave Sunday. You know, I all the time, pretty much every week, there's a new investigation busting people of all different walks of life and the Medicaid fraud that's going on that they're catching people at. And then on the other regard, thinking about DOGE, you know, making, you know, having our own Pennsylvania DOGE or Department of Government Efficiency to try to make these departments more efficient. And so, you know, that I know is a tedious process, but it does seem ridiculous that you're talking about billions of dollars. And it seems like the people who most need it oftentimes because of this fraud on many different levels, Kim Ward, our state senator, it looks like that's just not fair. And I don't know who would be against that.
Well, the governor is out. I think you can check his Twitter.
yeah.
and check his press conferences every day, saying how Republicans and President Trump are cutting Medicaid. We are taking away health care from people. We are hurting people. You know, that's a bunch of crap.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't, we don't want to take it away from anybody who needs it. That's not what the president tried to do. That's not what we're looking at.
Yeah.
But there are things that we can do and better programs in place so that we are more efficient and we don't have a high error rate to protect the wallets of the people paying the bill.
You know, even though before his election, Governor Josh Shapiro, one thing that he ran on, and I know we've talked about this, I've talked about it ad nauseum, but the promise, he even went on Fox News. I mean, he was on everybody's air promising that he believed in this voucher program as far as school choice, that he believed in it. Then he line item vetoed it. And so is there any shot to really get this underway? Because to me personally, it's the answer. I mean, I can name local areas where they investigated whether or not just a municipality, I won't, you know, name it, but
yeah,
in the suburbs, not so far from where I'm broadcasting from in Philadelphia, they were looking at, because they have to build so many new schools and so on, and they asked the question, would it be cheaper to just give out vouchers to our taxpayers where they could just go to a private school of their choice? I mean, they actually debated that because it would be so much cheaper.
Well, I do. You know, you guys have listened to me know how passionate I feel about this issue. And I do think this year the governor doesn't want a redo of what happened in the way of getting the crap kicked out of him 30,000, you know, mm-hmm. times a day.
No, but we're not coming back here. We're leaving from their house. Okay?
Hold on. Yes. Okay. Sorry, my husband started to talk to me. I'm on the radio live. So, anyway.
That's okay. I understand.
Okay. All right. Well, that's where I stand on these vouchers. And I think the governor doesn't want to get the crap kicked out of him again.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't want to do that.
Amen.
And but we'll see how much he's willing to lead on it, how much, influence Bradford has
yes.
on him. I mean, is the governor going to stand up to Bradford and say, this is what we're doing and you're going to get in line? Or is he going to shrivel up once again?
Yeah.
And do what Bradford wants him to do.
Yeah, Matt Bradford, Montgomery County, I've talked a lot about this, how he took hundreds of thousands of dollars from donations, teachers union, et cetera. And Matt Bradford has been somebody who, yeah, he just has this huge, I don't know, it's like a voodoo influence over Governor Shapiro. So he needs to break away from him.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's a voodoo influence, but I would say that, you know, he has undue influence over the governor. The governor doesn't stand up to him. The governor needs to show some leadership, realize he's the governor. You know, Ed Rendell would never, this kind of stuff even happening with the budget would not have happened under Ed Rendell. Ed Rendell went in, he handled and worked with the Democratic House. The Republican Senate at that point didn't have to work with the Democratic House because the governor worked with them and they came to agreement and came to the table. This is a difficult negotiation because, you know, we have a Democratic House and a Democratic governor, and they're not on the same page. So, you know, that makes things triply hard. Instead of the governor just taking the leadership, taking control of the reins and saying, here's what we're going to do. Let's work together. Go work with Bradford. Figure out what you can both live with.
Yeah.
And then come to the table and see where it lands with us.
Yeah. Yeah, we really appreciate you. I know you're in a busy, busy negotiation, busy day for you, State Senator Kim Ward. I always appreciate your energy. You're fighting for Pennsylvania. You're feisty. And for me personally, I would say with Governor Shapiro, I think all of us wish every person who campaigns on a promise would keep that promise.
Yeah.
You know, I
me
think that's
too.
Critical. And so I would just implore him to absolutely keep that promise. And ironically, I will say, as he moves, it's obvious to me that he's going to run for president someday, and maybe sooner rather than later. And I believe here's the ironic twist to it. I think even people on the Democrat side or the Republican side, if you stick to your guns, people on all sides respect you. You know what I'm saying? And that's because it's a sign of strength. So I
as opposed to you can't trust him.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
100%.
Okay. I'm
State Senator Kim Ward, I know you're busy. Thanks for carving out some time for us. And we'll be with you and we'll follow every piece of this negotiation. I know it's tough. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I know she's got to go. Her husband's. See, when the husband starts saying, you got to go, I'm in the car and we're ready. That's my life because I'm always yak, yak. I know this is a shock to you, but I'm always yak, 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 wherever they are. And then he's like, honey, I'm in the car. And then he'll text another family, tell Dawn I'm in the car and I'm waiting and I'm not coming back in. So that I totally relate to that. I don't know. Andrew Torres, is that you and your wife?
It depends on where we're going.
Okay.
Church, you know, we're usually good at being in the car at the same time. Yeah. Going out to eat with the kids and taking them out and stuff like that. It really just depends. Like, if we're just going to go to the beach or something like that, it's usually like, oh, I forgot my phone. Oh, I forgot my wallet. Oh, I forgot my keys. You know, it's
what if you're at the whatever it is, usually a family member, you're at an event.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, it's you're talking like who, like which specific family member or just like,
you know, at any family event, any event, and you're there and now you've got to get into the tourist family vehicle to leave.
Oh, that's me. I'm the one who's sticking around and talking to people and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, she's normally very patient with me, though, I will say this. Especially, like, I'll use church as an example, you know, being involved on the tech team and being involved in stuff like that. You know, putting stuff away and then, you know, you're seeing 30,000 people that you talk to on Sunday and all that stuff. And then she's standing there with the kids, like, holding them like this and everything. And it's just like, oh, oops. Went a little too long.
Well, that's nice, though.
But yeah.
That's why you and I, so we're talkers.
Yeah, for sure.
We're here in Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. So let us know who in your relationship, is it, you know, your husband, your wife, like who is the one? Is it you that you're the talker or are you the more patient one? For Lair Bear, for my husband, he's definitely always the one in the vehicle first. Never. I can't even think of a moment where I'm in the car first. I guess I need to work on that, among other things. 855-839-1210 is the number to call at Dawn Stensland on X. Make sure you follow Kim Ward because I noticed she's on social media too talking about all of this. Make sure you follow her and make sure you respond if you would be so kind. So we have a lot of updates for you. I want to update you on this one and tell you about that dating site. I remember when I first started, it was 10 years ago this summer, started here, which I can't believe it's a decade already. And Rich Scioli would talk about how he met Bridget. Remember this in the days? And he met on the very expensive dating app. And he said that he had been on there and spent all this money. And then Bridget, the beautiful Bridget Scioli, she was like there for like an hour. You know what I mean? And so they ended up falling in love. But this is a different kind of dating app or meeting, you know, place where you can meet people. This is, you know, young women, working young professional women, and they want to meet a guy who's good with his hands. So I'll explain. We'll talk about that and all the developing stories of the day. Have a little fun with it. Be right back. So much developing this morning. Yeah, that President Trump, the trending, and thank you, Andrew Torres, filling in for Dan Borowski, who's still on special assignment. I'll be back later this week. But, you know, that was a 40-minute about interview. I think it was 40 minutes, right, on CNBC. I don't know if that was a planned thing. That I had not seen that was a planned thing that they, in other words, promoted it yesterday, but a real coup for them. Not the usual station that he calls into. So I find that interesting that, and I think that's telltale. Trump wanted a big audience that is an audience where he knows these are people who are financial, you know, they're concerned about financial news in particular. As he's talking about all of these different issues on the Fed, on the jobs numbers, on the economy, on tariffs, etc. So Trump really making a push to influence that and get out his word and his side of the story, if you will. So just looking at that one. Want to get to this story. Well, let me ask you. It's 11:27. Let me get, you know what? Let me just play this because I, are we up against a break? How much time do we have? Sorry, I should have asked you this.
No, it's okay.
This is us doing producer notes. So I should have asked
you. Yeah, no, it's okay. We can go for, three or 4 minutes. It should be fine.
So how about if we go to, this is Riley Gaines, you know, really talking about the issue of girls in sports. I posted on social media just talking about the fact that, to me personally, the issue involving girls and women rights and the push for defining a woman or redefining a woman is something that will be viewed in history, I hope, as an embarrassment. And this is really on the Democrats. And I'm not even going to say Democrat, okay? I'm going to say the far left progressives. And I hope to God, if you're a traditional Democrat, I hope in this whole thing that people who are common sense people, no matter where you are, right or left of the aisle, we can all agree that this has gone cray cray, that the Democrat Party, as we know it, got hijacked somewhere along the line by these far, far left progressives. And now we see, for example, girls and women just saying, hey, what about my rights? What about my civil rights to be respected, to be allowed to just be in my lane, to be female, to be a girl, to be a woman, to be in sports, to be in a bathroom, to have privacy rights, for crying out loud. This is really basic stuff. Let's listen in to Riley Gaines.
I just want to ask you, like, was this something, number one, you anticipated or I guess planned for, or was it kind of like a gut instinct in the moment? Can you describe what the scenario was?
Yeah. On the day of the meet, it wasn't until the night before that they had released the heat sheets and all of the participants and mm-hmm. all of the track meet that I was going to be going to. So I made this decision day of, because that's when I found out that he was going to be allowed to compete. I had prayed about it all day. I had been so stressed the whole day. It was beautiful out. And I was like, no way, I'm not going to jump today. This is such a good opportunity. It's my senior year. I don't even know if like not jumping is going to do anything. It kind of felt hopeless. And then, you know, I get to the meet and there's just I would say it's a weird tension. And I was talking to Reese about it there, and it just didn't feel like competition. I knew it was unfair. And that's when I decided, you know what, I'm going to scratch myself, and kind of how I made that decision.
And so I just want to point out, I'm just going to point out here, if I can, that I've been doing this story, as you know, since the beginning. And these are students from across our region. I'd interviewed, remember, a Pennsylvania mom and her daughter who went through a similar situation but lost in a Philadelphia federal courtroom, unfortunately. But in Oregon, and they have some great attorneys, you've heard me interview them. And this is Riley Gaines keeping this alive. This is the case of Alexa Anderson and Reese Eckerd. You've heard me and seen me interview them. But they are suing. They filed their lawsuit against the Oregon School Athletics Association. And with this case, this has the potential to end up all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America. And this has been going on as they're saying they have a right in their lane to not be forced to compete against biological boys with their full apparatus, the whole thing, and to compete against because they can't win in any sport, but in particular in track. And so speaking about this, standing their ground, good for them. And I think it's just fantastic that Riley Gaines, for example, is somebody who's now advocating for them, pushing this to the national forefront. Because when this, and you know this, when anybody, no matter what your politics, looks at this issue, the vast majority, I think it's a 90-10, maybe 95.5% issue, that the vast majority of Americans say there's not even a chance that these girls lose. These girls deserve civil, this is a civil rights battle. So I'm just wanting to put this out there. Riley Gaines, thank God for Riley. She has fought this good fight. I think you win the fight when you put this into a courtroom. I hope their case for these young ladies, and you hear the stress. You know, you're in your senior year. It's enough stress thinking about college and grades and all the other stuff. They should be worried about everything else, not about this, not about competing against a much bigger, stronger biological male. Are you kidding me? This is ridiculous. Democrats know every time they lose on this issue. You heard me last week interview Beth Ann Rossica, who looked at the stats. The vast majority of our local schools, Philadelphia, this is you, Montgomery County, Bucks County, Chester County, this is all of you, Delaware County, all of these local municipalities are doubling down on this issue because they don't believe in civil rights, basic civil rights for your daughter, for your sister, right? I mean, that's really what this is. It's a sin, as I say. 855-839-1210. I got to take a quick break. Be right back. So they're calling this the Bob the Builder trend. This is such a fun story. This is the headline in the, you know, says, as is written, talking about this Hinge app. Single women are trying to meet Bob the Builder, guys who are good with their hands. In other words, the fix-it guy. So these are Gen Z young ladies who want, they're looking for Mr. Right, but also Mr. Fix-It, men who are good with their hands, if you will. And these are single ladies going to this dating app called Hinge. So it's sort of like a handyman service where they're updating their profiles, and then they say that they can be won over by a guy who could install things, you know, like a Hinge. I don't really get this, but it's like the first date. And then are they actually fixing something, or are they, doing, they're like building something like Minecraft? Or
no, well, I think from what I understand, I read the article because you shared it with me and Jimmy, and I believe the ladies who are doing this, and it, mm-hmm. I believe that all of this is taking place in New York City. It's
just New York?
Just New York. I believe that's what the article said. I'll double check.
Okay.
But my understanding is that if they need something done in the house, whether it's fixing a leak or something, or building something that they need in the kitchen, or doing something in the living room, putting a lamp together, or whatever, they add that to their Hinge profile.
Okay.
And they basically get a guy or whoever that they're interested in to okay. come and do it for them. And they use it. They use the app to get the service, and they're instead of hiring a handyman, they do it that way. So they're trying to get free service, basically, to get the stuff done in their house.
But you're trying to find a guy who you might date.
Yeah, but they're using the app to do it, so they're getting the free service, and then I guess
it's free.
Yeah, they're basically
free.
Well, the app isn't for free.
Okay,
but what I'm saying is, they're using the app and the information in their profile being like, hey, I'd be interested in somebody who can, you know, install some this whatever in my kitchen. And then somebody comes and does it, and they do it for free. And then the girl either, you know, she stays interested in the guy, or she cuts him loose. Because But the thing is, the benefit that they get is they get the work done for free.
Well, it leads to
it
a
stinks.
Lot of questions.
I don't like it, but that's just me.
Because is there like... Because nothing's for free, so is she expected to provide any, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just wondering if there's
so,
an implied Jimmy Kelly is...
So what if you go on this site,
uh-huh.
and the woman finds somebody, the guy comes over, and he, let's say, puts together something for her.
Your IKEA shelving.
IKEA shelving, absolutely. And okay. 2 days later, the IKEA shelving is falling all over the place, it's broken. You know what I mean? I guess the chances of hookup right. are just not there. Or, well, I found this electrician on the site. He came over, wired up my house. Well, 3 minutes later, the house is on fire. You're running out the door. And I don't know if it's such a good idea. It kind of reminds me of those people who would go to their local bar in the area and say, yeah, I know this handy guy. He's great. He can do this. He can do that. And then the next thing you know, the ambulance is coming because he shot himself in the arm with a nail gun or some crazy thing going on. But if it works, I mean, so be it. I mean, whoever thought eHarmony would
where
work.
Where you and your wife met.
Where me and Rich Zioli. Yeah. Two things that me and Rich Zioli have.
Not
in,
where you
in
met
common.
Rich Zioli, where you met
no.
your wife, Carol.
No. And where
and Rich
Zioli
met Bridget.
Right. Exactly. So we have two things in common, and me and Rich. We both met our wives on eHarmony, and we both lived on Cooper Jello for a while.
Yeah.
So.
I love it.
I don't know. It's just something that's not right, because you know what's going to happen with this app. You're going to hear about, well, this guy came over to hang up a door and it's not swinging the right way and it fell in and it hurt somebody, or God forbid it's going to be, well, I had this guy come in and he put something together and it fell and it hurt my cat. That's going to be the other big
like
thing.
Like a lawsuit?
Oh, there's going to be lawsuits galore coming out of this thing. And I just don't know.
I wonder.
It may.
The Hinge app is, so do they vet? I imagine they're vetting the people. So you're trusting the guy. Like, they show some cute pictures.
Right.
Like, they show this woman who's, and that's her actual boyfriend who she met on the app.
Okay.
So they show some cute pictures, and she has the instructions, and he's has the screwdriver, and he's screwing in a, like, whatever. You know, and the thing is, the guy has like a manual screwdriver. So are you going to judge the guy by his tools? Because I'm just saying, like, dude, you don't have like, he has like an old school screwdriver.
You don't have a DeWalt? You don't have a Black and Decker in there? What's up with that?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he doesn't have a DeWalt, and then that's the other thing. Does he have the tools that are American made? Like, do you judge the guy by the tools?
Milwaukee.
You know what I'm saying? But he has like a manual. He's holding his screwdriver is not even the kind that's magnetic. Like, that's
like
low energy.
Old-fashioned.
It's like, dude.
Sometimes people like that, though, like the old-fashioned type tools and stuff, because, you know, the ones that have lasted like six generations that our ancestors did during the Civil War, they were using those tools.
So he has turquoise blue pants. And I don't know. Is he really a fix-it guy? Is this real?
I don't know. I mean, like I said, the girls who are using the information in their profiles, they could just be using it to get free service because they don't want to do it themselves. So,
and then, you know, is so part of this too is here's what I like. I like that it's activity driven so that you don't have to spend money, right? That maybe you're both in the same boat. And so you're like, she moved into an apartment. She has all this like IKEA because she has some boxes. So IKEA furniture. And so you see them because it's actually kind of a cool idea. In other words, she has the instruction manual and they're kind of doing it together. And so you get to know somebody if you're putting together IKEA furniture. Because let me just tell you, Lair Bear, he lasts about 5 minutes. If he's listening right now, he's like, this is not fair. But seriously, my husband, like, there's no chance. And so, but my son, Michael, is the one we put together the IKEA. Michael's going to make a great husband.
Yeah.
He's very patient.
Mm-hmm.
And so we will do this together.
Yeah. If you can survive putting IKEA furniture together, you can survive anything.
Well said. Or you have to know when to cut your losses. I'm like, this honey.
Take a break.
Yeah,
we'll try again tomorrow.
Husband, I've got, you know, some like nice chicken and rice. It's in the oven. Why don't you go eat? And Michael and I will put this together. We've been married 25 years. So you have to know, like, you know when to cut bait on the IKEA furniture. Yep. I'll say that.
You have to know your limits.
Yes, this is true.
It's good philosophy.
Words of wisdom. But the pictures make it look really cute. I'm believing that on this app, they're kind of vetting the people and then they put them together and say, you know, they match you up. I'm not sure. Yeah, we can get your take. 855-839-1210. Be right back. Yeah, so we have so much that's developing today, and we've been talking about the Pennsylvania budget deal. That's so important, so critical, especially before the start of school. The ones who really pay, if you've missed that interview, I interviewed State Senator Kim Ward, who's the Senate president pro tempore, as you say, but the ones who lose out, private school kids, because you don't get your books. And they always make sure of that. And they're holding busing hostage. That's why I always say it's ridiculous that Philadelphia school kids, I think it's discrimination that they don't get the yellow bus service door to door like all the suburban kids and the other kids. I just think SEPTA is not the way to go, especially when you think about all the violence and all the problems we've had on SEPTA, the SEPTA bus stops and all of that. In my opinion, get rid of all of it. So we have that going on. We have another situation, by the way, locally, as we look to this, that an 8-year-old little boy is among those injured at this West Philadelphia rec center pool, this shooting. And we're learning more about that one. What a shame. As, you know, they're talking about the 6 others hurt, this 8-year-old little kid injured, and learning more about what's going on with that investigation. Now they've charged a 17-year-old charged with 14 counts of aggravated assault. But these poor kids at the Philadelphia Rec Center, and we just can't seem to catch a break here in Philadelphia. I saw a headline where they said that, oh, the murders are down. It's like every single day, I don't want to hear about statistics, because no matter what they tell you with the stats and the charts, when it's your kid or your community that's affected by all these different issues, I don't think any of us want to hear about, oh, it's down a 0.5%. It's ridiculous, and it's just disrespectful. Fix it. And they just can't fix it. They can't get it together. So we keep talking about that one. By the way, as we talk about local communities and National Night Out, it is National Night Out. Also, I'll be at the Phillies game tonight because it's PAL Night, Police Athletic League. As I've told you, I'm a board member on the Police Athletic League. That's Abington. But this is a great night to come out. I don't know if both my sons or one of them. We have to see which part of my family will be there. But really looking forward to this evening. I know it's hot out, but it's a great night, beautiful night for baseball. So can't wait for that at the Phillies tonight, Citizens Bank Park. And it's also National Night Out. Law enforcement officers, communities, and the goal of National Night Out, we talk about this every year, is thinking about neighbors, thinking about police, and thinking about safety. And that's really the focus. I know Abington Township has a lot of special events, but as well across our region, I always hope and pray that it's a safe night out. As we think about National Night Out, people just coming together, and it's all about being solution-based. You know, I think that's a huge part of it as we look to what's going on. I was just looking through as far as our updates, and I wonder if you think about it, these red light cameras. I know this is one of Dom Giordano, one of his biggest issue, these red light cameras. I actually don't mind some of the red light cameras when they're looking at the school bus safety. But when it comes to a red light camera that's up, and it's up all night, as somebody who drives in basically in the middle of the night to work, I think it's so unfair to expect that while we're down in police after the defund police movement, and they have a red light, if you need to run that red light because somebody's approaching your vehicle, which happens when you're driving in the middle of the night to Center City, Philadelphia, I think that's not fair, because it's so tough to fight that. You have no rights to fight it. And if you've tried to go to traffic court in Philadelphia, it's impossible to go there. So that's my only battle over the red light cameras as they're rolling out more of them. And I just saw in Bucks County, Bristol Township, they've just announced the township is ticketing drivers through a new red light camera safety program. And they're starting the 60-day warning period that just started in the suburbs. But this is the future. So to me personally, suspend that over in the overnight hours, because you have no way to fight that unless you're going to put a cop to keep somebody safe. If God forbid somebody's walking up to their vehicle, then you shouldn't have it. That's my bottom line on that. I have it every single morning. There's somebody walking up to my car and I'm like a sitting duck. As I come into Philadelphia, yeah, I'm going to roll through the red light. There's nobody on the road, right? So that's my only point on that one. It's really a safety type issue with me. But this one's in Bucks County. So we've seen them in Philadelphia. They claim that they make it safer. But in this red light program, it's, by the way, it's Bristol Pike at Green Lane. And then as well as Edgeley Road. 60-day warning period. That they're beginning this in Bucks. We see it across our region. $100, cha-ching, it's big bucks rolling in. Hey, there's so much developing. I know there's Trump news. He's talking about some new tariff plans that he's implementing. We've got locally a ton of local news. And then watching TikTok, the state budget deadline, which is way overdue. Thanks for being here. I'm Dawn Stensland. The Dom Giordano Show is next. I got to run to the SPCA locally because we got another Piazza Pets as I'm headed for a video shoot to show you the latest beautiful doggies and kitties that are up for adoption and need a forever home. So I'll join you tomorrow morning starting on Kale & Company, 6 a.m. But next, Dom Giordano.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.